The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the June 2018 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. We're going to begin with warm-up, page 16, sound off. Now, if you were to give yourself a nickname, what would it be? KT, I like it, and I think I'm used to hearing it. Some of the best nicknames I've had are KT, Chris, Crystal. My friends and family gave them to me. Thankfully, I haven't had any bad nicknames, at least not that I know anyone has called me. That's Crystal Thomas, Washington Mystics. She's the center. Same question. If you were to give yourself a nickname, what would it be? This is Denny Hamilton, the NASCAR Cup driver. The winner. I used to be called Pretzel Boy because when I was younger, I got caught sleeping with my hand inside a rolled cup pretzel bag. I was also Hurricane Hamlin during my early racing days. That one was pretty bad, too. Iron Man. I love the movies, and because of the heart surgery and his smarts, we relate well together. My freshman year at college, the Georgetown student base gave me the nickname The Predator. I had long hair, and whenever I would dunk or jump, it would fly behind me like the Predator. My mother gave me the nickname Bun Bun, and still to this day calls me that. I hate it, but she won't give it up, so I deal with it. That's Jeff Green of the Cleveland Cavaliers. The forward, shelter pet, and life of the party. Amazing stories start in shelters and rescues. Adopt today to start yours. Start a story. AdoptTheShelterPetProject.org. Prime time. Saquon Barkley. Picture of Saquon number 26, formerly of the Penn State Nittany Lions, headed to the New York Giants. His position is running back. After dominating the Big Ten, this Penn State record breaker is ready to bring his ground game to the NFL. He's serious about becoming the next big thing and living up to the hype. Adrian Peterson and Emmitt Smith couldn't do it. Eric Dickerson and LaDainian Tomlinson fell short. Earl Campbell or Marshall Faulk? No and no. The greatest NFL running backs of all time never became the face of the league. Saquon Barkley is going to try. Even before he has taken a handoff in the NFL, the 6 foot, 233-pound Barkley, who went to the Giants with the second pick in April's draft, sees an opening in football's marketing landscape. And, rare for a rookie, he has concrete plans on how to accelerate through it. Talent evaluator Gil Brandt has worked in the NFL for 63 years. He grades prospects on a 9-point system, broken down into categories: character, quickness and agility, strength and explosion, competitiveness, and mental alertness. Over his career, he has graded 492 running backs. Barkley ranks higher than them all. He has a 100% chance of being an all-pro. Brandt says he's the best player in the draft. At Penn State, Barkley became the first player ever to be named Big Ten running back, returner, and offensive player of the year in the same season. Won the 2017 Paul Hornung Award as the nation's most versatile performer, and was the NCAA's second-ranked player in all-purpose yards. His achievements for the Nittany Lions were superseded only by his performance in the March NFL Combine. His 4.40 40-yard dash was the third best ever by a running back, 230 pounds or heavier. His 41-inch vertical set the record for that same group, and his 29 bench press reps were the fifth most for any back 230 pounds or less. In other words, Barkley is both too fast and too strong for his size. A genuine original. In explaining why Barkley could be the one running back to overtake quarterbacks and wide receivers in the race to be the face of the league, His marketing team at Roc Nation argues that there has never been another back like him, a run, catch, and return game breaker with impeccable character. Barkley is jocular, thoughtful, self-aware, and rigorous about making eye contact. He apologizes profusely for being late to meet a reporter, despite it not being his fault, and will ask a passenger sitting behind him in a car if he has enough room, then unnecessarily scoot his seat forward. A broadcast journalism major, he's at ease in front of a camera. It doesn't take much straining of the imagination to envision him bantering with talk show personality Jimmy Kimmel or hosting Saturday Night Live. But most important, he is willing. Willing to sit for interviews. He says he actually enjoys them and willing to participate in at times orchestrate a 3-hour photo shoot. He's neither bashful about his goals nor hesitant to work to achieve them. Is it all just to burnish his image, just a facade? Those who know Barkley best say no, and they have stories to prove it. They recall the random compliments he paid to teammates' parents about their children's football abilities when he was 11 years old. The countless hours he spent signing posters after games in State College so no kid would go home empty-handed. The cleats he has pulled out of his gym bag at the airport to give to young fans who simply wanted pictures, or the 8 pairs he donated to another NFL prospect before the combine after learning the guy was working out in Timberlands. And then there's the medal story. On the clay track behind Whitehall High during Barkley's senior year, with Rachel Pennock holding his starting block, Barkley earned his first gold medal after winning the 100-meter dash in the district championship. Minutes earlier, Pennick had won the girls' 100-meter hurdles, but an electronic timing malfunction avoided the result. They were forced to rerun the race, and this time Pennick clipped the hurdle and finished 8th. Barkley watched all this unfold. Pennick was from another school. They had never met before, but he slipped the medal off his neck and placed it around hers. "This is before he was anybody," Pennick says. "That's the kind of person he is." James Franklin, Barkley's coach at Penn State, has been in football for 23 years, and he says he has never seen a player as talented or as altruistic as Barkley. One day, Franklin offhandedly mentioned to a few of his players that his 11-year-old daughter, Shola, wasn't being allowed to play football with the boys during recess. So Barkley visited the school and started his own game with Shola. Soon all the kids, girls and boys, joined in. When Barkley noticed one boy standing off to the side, he coaxed him in onto the field. "What kind of teenager, let alone an All-America running back, does that?" Franklin wondered. "That's good for the NFL. That's good for the game of football," Franklin says. "That's good for our country." In March, the Pennsylvania House of Representatives officially celebrated Saquon Barkley Day, beating him in the state capitol, 95 miles from where he smashed running records and racked up defender hurdling highlights at Penn State. Gene McNeil is the state representative who sponsored the resolution. Why does she take the time to do so? Why Barkley? Not because he is a famous sports star, she says, but rather because he is an exemplary role model, honest, kind, and respectful. "There is so much strife going on in this world," she says, "and Saquon gives people a reason to smile. We need more reasons to smile." Continuing on page 21, best backs, how have they fared? Over the last 15 years, NFL teams have drafted 12 running backs in the top 10. Some lived up to the hype, some, well, didn't. Made the grade. The best of the bunch, Adrian Peterson, drafted 2007 in the number 7 pick, he's on the left, won 3 rushing titles and an MVP award in 10 seasons with the Vikings. Todd Gurley, number 15, number 10, was Offensive Rookie of the Year and then Offensive Player of the Year with the Rams. Ezekiel Elliott, 2016, drafted number 4, led the league in rushing as a rookie, and led the Cowboys last season. Looking good. Both Leonard Fournette, number 4, and Christian McCaffrey, number 8, turned heads in their rookie seasons in 2017. Fournette left, had a 1,000-yard year for the Jaguars, and McCaffrey proved his versatility by gaining 435 yards as a rusher and 651 as a pass catcher out of the backfield for the Panthers. One and almost done. Reggie Bush, 2006, number two on the left, provided some value to the Saints, who drafted him, but had his best two seasons with Miami. Darren McFadden, 2008, number four, had only one 1,000-yard season with his first team, the Raiders, and only one more after signing with Dallas. C.J. Spiller, number 10, drafted in 2010 at number nine, had one as a kick returner and one as a rusher for the Bills before losing stream. Not worth the pick. None of the top three running backs in the class of 2005 panned out for the teams that drafted them. Of Ronnie Brown, number two, Cedric Benson, number four, and Cadillac Williams, number five, only Benson had multiple 1,000-yard seasons. For the Bengals, his second team, Trent Richardson, 2012, number three on the left, was a bust, plain and simple. He lasted three seasons, playing only 17 games in Cleveland, the first stop. The wonders of the sports world. And there are seven of them. These sites, spread out across five continents and ranging from iconic to obscure, have one thing in common. They're all really, really cool. Beijing National Stadium in China. Built for the 2008 Summer Olympics, this awesome arena is known as the Bird's Nest due to its distinctive exterior of interwoven steel support beams. The look is international. The designers wanted to mimic the distinctive cracked glaze of Chinese pottery. The stadium, which can hold 80,000 spectators, will be used for the opening and closing ceremonies of the 2022 Winter Games. The seventh hole at Pebble Beach, Lynx, California. Pebble Beach includes several beautiful holes, but the seventh is special. The crashing waters of Carmel Bay are the backdrop as golfers hit to a green that is surrounded by water on three sides. The hole is just 106 yards long, but the swirling winds off the water make it one of the trickiest on the course. Golf legend Sam Snead once chose to hit a putter off the tee rather than send the ball into the teeth of the breeze. Henningsvær Stadium, Norway. The Norwegian village of the Henningsvær has a population of fewer than 500, and the world's most scenic soccer field. Part of the Lofoten Archipelago, this picturesque pitch offers views of the Norwegian Sea and nearby snow-capped peaks. There's no stadium seating, but there are racks for drying fish. There are plenty of architectural marvels in the sports universe, but the true wonders marry cool designs with natural beauty. The PPC Newlands Cricket Ground in South Africa gives spectators a view of Table Mountain and Devil's Peak, two iconic features of the Cape Town skyline. That's the PPC Newlands Cricket Ground in South Africa. The Allianz Arena in Germany. The home stadium of the Bayern Munich boasts 2,874 inflated panels on its exterior. These cushions each include around 280 LED lights, which allow the stadium to be lit up in a variety of colors, including green for St. Patrick's Day, and patterns such as the German flag and the United States flag for July 4th. Inside, it seats 75,000 fans, with room for an additional 15,930 to stand. That's the Allianz Arena in Germany. The Float at Marina Bay in Singapore. Henningsvær's field may be surrounded by water, but this one literally floats on top of it. Modeled after the pontoons used by armies to cross rivers, the float does just that. While 30,000 fans stand that are located on land get a great view of downtown Singapore. McMurdo Station Bowling Alley in Antarctica. Okay, so maybe this one doesn't look quite as awe-inspiring as the other six. The wonder here is that a bowling alley exists in Antarctica at all. Located at McMurdo Station, a United States research base, and opened in 1961. these two lanes require manual pin resets. Become a hardball know-it-all. The Coolidge Insider Knowledge to Take Superfans to the Next Level. Available now. The Baseball Fan Book. Poster Face-Off. Charlie Blackman, Colorado Rockies center fielder versus Tina Charles, New York Liberty WNBA forward. All right, their ages. Charlie Blackman is 31. Tina Charles is 29. Their height and weight. Charlie Blackman is 6'3", 210 pounds. Tina Charles is 6'4", 192 pounds. Hometown, Sewanee, Georgia. Charlie Blackman, Queens, New York. Tina Charles. Nickname, Charlie Blackman, Chuck Natsty. Nickname, needs one. How about T-Chuck? The college, Charlie Blackman, Georgia Tech. Blackman, who transferred from Young Harris College, hit 396 in his one season with the Yellow Jackets. Tina Charles, University of Connecticut. Charles led UConn to a pair of national titles and won the J.R. Wooden and the Naismith College Player of the Year awards. Other sports, Charlie Blackman. Played basketball and football in addition to baseball at North Gwinnett High. Blackman, who hit 37 home runs last season for the Rockies, didn't hit a ball over the fence until he was a senior in high school. Tina Charles played softball, tennis, and soccer. Charles focused on hoops at Christ the King High and led her team to a 57-game winning streak. Hobbies, Charlie Blackman, playing chess and fly fishing. Tina Charles, museums and Broadway shows. Smarts, Charlie Blackman, earned a degree from Georgia Tech in business management. In 2008, he was named to ESPN's Academic All-America team. Tina Charles majored in psychology. Charles, who interned at a prison while at UConn, said she liked to work in the criminal justice field. Good sports. Charlie Blackman launched Chuck Cheers for Kids last year and brought a group of kids from Big Brothers Big Sisters to a Rockies game. Blackman is very popular with kids. When a video of a two-year-old fan screaming his name went viral, Blackman brought him to Coors Field. Tina Charles started Hopi's Heart Foundation in honor of her late aunt Maureen, who was nicknamed Hopi. The program purchases and distributes automated external defibrillators to schools to help save victims of cardiac arrest. Charles donated her entire WNBA salary to the program the past two seasons. Career highlights. First, Charlie Blackman. 2018, following a season in which he swatted a personal best 37 homers and led the National League with a 331 batting average, Blackman burst out of the gate, hitting eight home runs in the first 18 games. In 2014, in his first full season as a starter, Blackman made the National League All-Star team. He hit 19 home runs and stole 28 bases. In the Rocky home opener, Blackman had six hits, including a homer and three doubles and five RBIs. In 2008, after a season in which he hit 396 with 25 stolen bases for Georgia Tech, Blackman was drafted in the second round by the Rockies. He had transferred to Georgia Tech in 2006. Prior to his time with the Yellow Jackets, he spent two seasons as a pitcher at Youngs Harris, Georgia College. Blackman was drafted as a pitcher by the Florida Marlins after graduating from high school in 2004, but he did not sign. Tina Charles highlights. Her career highlights include, in 2018, in January, the Liberty designated Charles as their core player, giving the team exclusive negotiating rights with her. The Liberty can't be blamed for wanting to keep Charles in the fold. Since being acquired from the Connecticut Sun in 2014, Charles has never averaged fewer than 17.1 points per game for New York. In 2016, as a member of Team USA, Charles won her second Olympic gold medal in Rio de Janeiro. She tied for the team high with seven rebounds in a 101-72 rout of Spain in the gold medal game. In 2009-2010, Charles became the all-time leading scorer and rebounder in UConn history on the same night. She broke both marks on March 1st, 2010, against Notre Dame. Charles led the Huskies to NCAA titles in 2009 when she was the most outstanding player of the Final Four, and in 2010. 2 days after she wrapped up her second championship, she was selected as the top pick in the WNBA draft by the Sun. Moving on to page 32, everything you need to know to become a sports trivia. There's more to players than what's happened under the lights. Quizmasters love to ask about famous families. Here are some of the most well-known sibling and parent-child combos in sports. Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. This duo played together in 1990 and 91 for the Seattle Mariners. They achieved all sorts of father-son feats, like hitting back-to-back home runs on September 14, 1990, against the Anaheim Angels. Senior went yard first. Calvin and Grant Hill. Calvin won NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in 1969. His son Grant won NBA Rookie of the Year in 1994-95. Venus and Serena Williams. Serena is 17-12 all-time against sister Venus. They are undefeated, 14-0, as doubles partners in majors. Prince and Cecil Fielder. Prince and his father Cecil each retired with the same number of career home runs, 319. They were both first basemen and designated hitters who had stints with the Tigers. Danielle and Heinrich Seidin. The Seidin twins played together in the NHL for 17 seasons in Vancouver and each scored more than 1,000 points. Peyton and Eli Manning. These brothers both have two Super Bowl rings. Peyton earned his with the Colts and the Broncos, and Eli won both of his with the Giants. And don't forget their older brother, Cooper, who was a top football prospect at wide receiver. A spine injury ended his career. Peyton wore 18, Cooper's number in his brother's honor. Sample question. Which two brothers scored the most combined points in NHL history? Well, the answer, Wayne and Brett Gretzky. Wayne had 2,857. Brent added four. These baseball legends from back in the day are better known by their nicknames. Here's what's on their birth certificates. Lawrence, that would be Yogi Berra. Charles, that's Casey Stengel. George, Babe Ruth. Leroy, Satchel Paige. Johannes, that's Honus Wagner. Denton, Cy Young. Adrian, Cap Anson. Henry, that's Lou Gehrig. Robert, Lefty Grove. Jay, Dizzy Dean. James, Pud Galvin. James, Cool Papa Bell. Vernon, Lefty Gomez. And Harold, Pee Wee Reese. So you want to be a trivia whiz? Well, being a real trivia ace means becoming a master of the educated guess. We can't prepare you for every possible question you might encounter, but we can show you the type of factoid that fans love to discuss. Memorize the important dates and stats. Understand the gist of the stories, and you're well on your way to becoming unstumpable. Iconic franchise players who left their biggest marks in one city, these legends actually did wear other jerseys over their careers. Wayne Gretzky, St. Louis Blues, most famous as an Edmonton Oiler and an L.A. King and New York Ranger. Willie Mays, most famous as a San Francisco and New York Giant, but also played with the New York Mets. Emmitt Smith, most famous as a Dallas Cowboy, but also played for the Arizona Cardinals. Joe Montana, most famous as a San Francisco 49er, but also played for the Kansas City Chiefs. Bobby Orr, most famous as a Boston Bruin, but again also played for the Chicago Blackhawks. Brett Favre, most famous as, hey, you cheeseheads, as a Green Bay Packer, but played also for the Atlanta Falcons. Hakeem Olajuwon, most famous as a Houston Rocket, but did you know he also played for the Toronto Raptors? And Karl Malone, most famous as a member of the Utah Jazz, but also spent time with the Los Angeles Lakers. Here are some other famous sobriquets worth knowing. Maurice Richard, nicknamed the Rocket. Karl Malone, nicknamed the Mailman. William Perry, the Refrigerator. Bobby Hull, the Golden Jet. Rafael Nadal, the King of Clay. Calvin Johnson, Megatron. Dick Lane, Night Train. Cal Ripken Jr., Iron Man. George Gervin, the Iceman. Ernie Banks, Mr. Cub. Deion Sanders, Prime Time. Walter Payton, Sweetness. Few feats are more impressive than excelling in two sports. Who are some of these? Deion Sanders is the only athlete to play in a World Series as a Brave in 1992 against the Blue Jays, and a Super Bowl as a 49er in 1994 and as a Cowboy in 1995. He missed out on the World Series ring but hoisted the Lombardi Trophy twice. Michael Jordan retired from the NBA in 1993 to try baseball. He hit .202 in 127 games for the Birmingham Barons, the AA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. He returned to basketball the next year and went on to win three more NBA titles. Bo Jackson and Frank Thomas were teammates on the White Sox. They also went to Auburn on football scholarships, but missed each other by a year. Kenny Lofton and Tim Stoddard are the only people to play in the Final Four in the World Series. They played for different colleges and major league teams, but went to the same high school. Wow. Sample question. Which NFL quarterback turned baseball player homeward in his first pro at bat in 2017? Answer, Tim Tebow. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. In a little bit of time, I showed some cash, then the girl was mine. I took her over town, I wired her and dined her. She asked me, did I like her? I said, well, kinda. All of a sudden, she jumped out of seat, snatched me up by my wrist and took me out in the street. She started grabbing all over me, kissing and hugging, so I shoved her away. I said, you better stop bugging. She got mad, looked me dead in my face, threw her.